هو نصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، الحمد لله. Tonight is the 2nd of February in the year 2018. Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the 53rd night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the glorious companion, Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu anhu. And I'm mentioning now the Battle of Ajnadain. And we're on the second day, and Wardan, the Roman commander-in-chief, has hatched a plot to meet Khalid by himself, but he's already set 10 of his warriors hidden to leap upon Khalid, who he thought would be unexpected. But Khalid radiyallahu anhu was given the knowledge of this by David, who was sent by Wardan to speak on his behalf. And then Sayyidina Khalid appointed 10 men to deal with these 10, and Dirar was the leader. The following destined appointment thus took place, and the two commanders faced each other alone. Wardan then started speaking ill of the Arabs and their history. Sayyidina Khalid's response, radiyallahu anhu, was simply, "O Christian dog, this is your last chance to accept Islam or to pay the jizya." Upon this, and without warning, Wardan sprang at Khalid radiyallahu anhu and held on to him, at the same time making the signal to his 10 men. 10 Romans indeed emerged. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu saw them and was alarmed, for he was expecting to see Muslims emerge from behind the hillock, and he had thus made no arrangement for his own protection. Had Sayyidina Dilar radiyallahu anhu thus finally met his match, Wardan was beaming with glee as he saw his 10 men charging towards him. However, as they drew near, it then suddenly turned to shock and then horror, for he noticed that one of these Romans was naked to the waist. An terrible truth suddenly dawned upon him. Wardan thus released Khalid radiyallahu anhu and staggered back. He now looked on helplessly as the 10 Muslims surrounded the two men. Sayyidina Dirar radiyallahu anhu now advanced with a drawn sword. At this, Wardan implored Khalid radiyallahu anhu, "I beseech you in the name of whatever you worship, kill me yourself. Do not let that devil come near me," I, who was naked above the waist. However, before Khalid could react, Wardan's head was severed by the blade of Sayyidina Dirar radiyallahu anhu. So what happened? This was the kind of game that Dirar played. So he wanted to give the impression to Wardan that the 10 Muslims weren't Muslims, they were Romans. So he made the 9 that obviously they killed the 10. He made them wear the armory of the Romans, but he kept himself on the bike. So when Wardan saw them, he goes, "Yes, mission accomplished." But as they got nearer, he realized, "Oh my God." And what then did he call Dirar? He called him a devil. He goes, "Keep that devil away from me. Because you, whatever you worship, you kill me." But Dirar sorted him out before Khalid could do anything, radiyallahu. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu then, as always, exploited the psychological effect of killing the enemy commander-in-chief and gave immediate orders for a general all-out attack. Qubuqala had now taken the command of the enemy forces. Another phase of violent hand-to-hand combat now took place. The battlefield soon turned into a wreckage of human bodies, mostly Roman. Then at long last, as the two sides were again reaching the point of exhaustion, Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu now finally threw his reserve of 4,000 men under Sayyidina Yazid into the center. radiyallahu subhanallah, with this added impetus, the Muslims finally broke through at several places into the Roman army. The brave general Kubukala was killed upon the breakthrough. Upon his death, the Roman resistance weakened further and soon thereafter entirely collapsed. The proud Romans were now fleeing from battle. Subhanallah. So simply put, it was the reserve of Yazid used at the critical moment that managed to finally break the Romans. However, at the hands of the fresh cavalry of Yazid radiyallahu anhu, the Romans suffered an even more grievous damage than in the 2 days of fighting on the plain of Ajnadayn. The Romans were soon torn to pieces. It had literally ceased to exist, though of course a sizable portion managed to escape. It was the first great encounter between Islam and Christianity. Islam had triumphed. Victory in the Battle of Ajnadayn opened the way for the conquest of Asham. The land could not, of course, be conquered with a single battle, for the Roman Emperor Heraclius could draw on his resources of the whole empire, which stretched as far out as Armenia from the Balkans. It is related, Hafiz Waqidi Rahmatullah Alayh in his Futuh Sham, page 42, Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu wrote back to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu and informed him of the outcome of the battle, giving the Roman casualties at 50,000 dead, whilst the cost of only 450 Muslims. So look at the casualties, 450 Muslims, 50,000 Romans. Thus, just over half the Roman force was annihilated, and for each Muslim life that was lost, around 110 Romans paid with this. Subhanallah. So obviously it was the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You could say incredible warriors, no doubt, but these statistics are something else. One Muslim, 110 Romans. It's like they were just sitting ducks. So obviously they weren't sitting ducks. This was the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu also informed the venerable Khalifa radiyallahu anhu that he would shortly march on towards Damascus. At Al-Madinah, the news of this victory was received with joy and shouts of Allahu Akbar rent the blessed air. More volunteers thus now eagerly lined up to join the blessed jihad in Asham. These included aged and venerable companions, such as Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, along with his wife Hind ibn Utbah, bint Utbah, radiyallahu anha, who joined the corps of their son, Sayyidina Yazid, radiyallahu anha. So basically, who doesn't want to take part? If you're hearing about these glorious victories, don't forget the status of the Mujahid is very high. So even the aged sahaba, imagine Abu Sufyan maybe in his late 70s, his wife, probably early 60s, they went, and who did they join? Yazid, who was their son. So they went there to be with their son, Yazid ibn Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu. The Roman Emperor Heraclius was an emissary when the news of the crushing defeat of the Roman army struck him like a bolt from the sky. He was devastated. So obviously this was the first fall of the one of the mighty Roman forces. It was the Battle of Ajnadayn. So obviously Heraclius realized now he's in trouble. Why? Because he knew in the time of the Prophet this land is going to be given to the Muslims. So he's now seeing it happening slowly and surely in his own reign. So the next section is entitled The Liberation of Damascus. So first, is holy. Is it a holy city? Is it a blessed city? And the answer is yes. In Abu Dawood, Ahmad and Hakim in his Mustadrak, Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih, in Sahih Al-Jabi, number 2116. Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Damascus is one of the most blessed cities of Asham. Damascus, or Dimashq, is one of the most blessed cities of Asham, Sahih Hadith in Abu Dawud. Thus, it would certainly be correct to say that Damascus was one of the great jewels in the glorious crown of Asham. So there's no problem with that statement. Sham is blessed. You mentioned the Hadiths. Damascus is a jewel in the blessed land of Sham. The Prophet was highlighting that. Indeed, Damascus was known as the paradise of Syria, a glittering metropolis which contained everything that makes a city great and famous. It had wealth, culture, temples and troops. It had history. So now, who were the commanders in charge of Damascus? At the time of the campaign of Syria, the Roman commander-in-chief at Damascus was Thomas. He was also the son-in-law of the emperor Heraclius. So think about that. Heraclius has put his own son-in-law as the commander of Damascus. And his name is easy, Thomas. Thomas was a deeply religious man. He was a devout Christian. He was thus not only known for his courage and skill, but also for his intelligence and learning. Who was his deputy? Under him served his deputy, a general by the name of Harbis. So his deputy, Thomas is the commander-in-chief, his deputy is Harbis. However, third person, the general who was in active command of the garrison was Azazir. He was a veteran soldier who had spent a lifetime campaigning in the east, had thus acquired fame in countless battles against the Persians and Turks. He also had never lost a duel. He was a great champion. He also spoke Arabic fluently. So the third person is called Azazir. He is the active commander of the garrison. And he's kind of a Khalid of the Romans. You know, unbeaten champion, etc., etc. Azazir's garrison consisted of no less than 12,000 soldiers. But Damascus, as a city, had not prepared for the siege. A task which for a garrison and a population so large would take weeks and months. So they had the armies, they had the numbers, they had the boat siege, they were prepared for that. So that was a weakness they had. Heraclius, the emperor, now working from his headquarters in Antioch, which is now within modern Turkey bordering Syria, set about the task of putting things right and preparing Damascus for the siege. So Heraclius knew that they wanted Damascus. So he wanted to help Damascus as best he could, prepare them for the siege. Having ordered the remnants of the army of Ajnadain to delay the Muslims at Al-Yaqusa, which the Muslims promptly defeated under the leadership of Khalid radiallahu anhu, he sent another force of 5,000 soldiers from Antioch to reinforce the garrison at Damascus. So simply put, these are like small details for us, but they're worth mentioning. Those who fled from Ajnadain, they regrouped. The Roman Emperor Heraclius told them, delay, stop Khalid's force from going to Damascus. So these soldiers obeyed without question. They were wiped out by Khalid. And that was a place called Al-Yaqusa. Then, while that was happening, the Roman Emperor Heraclius, he sent another force of 5,000 soldiers. But these were to help the garrison in Damascus. Have you understood? The force of the 5,000 was placed under a general named Qulus. And he said to the emperor, his general Qulus, he said to Heraclius, I will bring to you the head of Khalid on a lance. This is recorded by Hafiz Waqidi rahmatullah alayh in his Futuh al-Sham, page 20. Obviously, you know, anybody can say what they want. So he's like trying to curry favor with the emperor. So he goes, don't worry, oh high one, I'll bring you Khalid's head on a lance. The strength of the garrison at Damascus was raised now to 17,000. Have you understood? 12,000 and the 5,000 with Qulus. However, Qulus, the reinforcement commander, and Azazir, the active commander of the garrison, were professional rivals. And there was little love lost between them. Each wished to see the downfall of the other. Of our stage. You get this? You know, two strong personalities. They didn't like each other. So the garrison commander, active garrison commander Azazir, he thought, who's come to reinforce us? Qulus. He hated him. And they all wanted ill for each other. The commander-in-chief of Damascus, Thomas, Thus now work feverishly to prepare the city for the siege. Provisions were thus rapidly gathered from the surrounding countryside to sustain the garrison and the inhabitants in case the lines of supply were severed by besiegers. However, not enough could be gathered for a prolonged siege. So they tried their best, get as much food, drink, everything in before Khalid arrives. They got some in, but it wasn't enough. It is recorded by Hafiz Waqidi rahmatullah alayhi in his Futuh al-Sham, volume 2, page 47, that Khalid radiallahu anhu had by now organized a general staff whom he had collected from all the regions he had fought thus far, from Arabia, Iraq, Syria and Palestine, a small group of keen and intelligent men who mainly functioned as his intelligence staff. Thus the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was constantly updated with the latest developments, ever watchful, ever ready to exploit fleeting opportunities. It was said of him, he neither slept nor let others sleep. Indeed, nothing was concealed from him. This is recorded in Tabari in his Tariq, volume 2, page 626. So this was a myth. Obviously, he slept. But because they thought, he knows everything. So the myth starts circulating, he doesn't sleep. He doesn't let other people sleep. And everything was, but this was because of his network of intelligence, spies. So this is again part and parcel of his genius. So the next section is entitled The Battle of Marj as-Safar. The Battle of Marj as-Safar. After 3 days of marching along the Jabiya route, the leading elements of the Muslim army arrived at Marj as-Safar. What does that mean? It means the Yellow Meadow. About 12 miles from Damascus. And they discovered a large Roman army barring their way. So this is the geography. They're 12 miles from Damascus, at the Yellow Meadow, Marj as-Safar, and there's a huge Roman army now waiting for them. This Roman force consisted of about 12,000 soldiers, and commanded by Qulus, the reinforcement commander, and Azazir, the active commander of the garrison at Damascus, had been sent by Thomas to fight a battle in the open and drive the Muslims away from Damascus. And if that was not possible, to at least delay the Muslim advance and thus gain more time for provisioning of the city. Have you understood? So basically the two commanders, Azazir from Damascus and Qulus, they've got together and they've gone 12 miles out to face the Muslim forces to either defeat them or to at least delay them so they could get more provisions for their, you know, being besieged in Damascus. The following morning, Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu moved up his corps and the Muslims and Romans marshaled their forces for what was later to be called the Battle of Marj as-Safar. The rest of the Muslim forces were also rushing to the battlefield, but it would be another 2 hours or so before it arrived. Don't forget, the corps are coming together. Have you understood? So Khalid's got there, but he's still waiting for the other commanders to come. The Romans were hesitant and thus remained on the defensive, for they made no move to engage with the Muslims. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu thereupon started a phase of dueling that would keep the Romans occupied until the arrival of the remaining Muslim corps. The sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thus summoned some of his champions, including Sayyidina Dirar, Sayyidina Shurahbil, and Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Abu Bakr. All three thus strode out on their horses and challenged the Romans to a duel. The foolish Romans thus came out one by one and they were very quickly dispatched. After killing his opponent, the Muslim champion would then gallop across the front of the Roman army, taunting, challenging and saying, "Are there any more? Are there any more?" When this had gone on for an hour or so, Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu decided it was now time for the heavyweight bout. He called the Muslim officers back and now rode forward himself. As he got onto the center of the battlefield, he cried out, "I am the pillar of Islam. I am the companion of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am the noble warrior, Khalid ibn al-Walid." radiyallahu anhu. This is recorded by Hafiz Waqidi rahmatullah alayh in his Futuh al-Sham, page 41. This challenge had to be met by one of the top ranking generals, Qulus, the reinforcement commander who had promised to bring Khalid's head back on a lance to the emperor, had by now lost his nerve. Thus unwillingly, but egged on by the taunts of his rival Azazir, the active garrison commander, he reluctantly rode out from the front of the Roman army. So you can picture it, they're both seeing their champions being killed by the, you know, the other commanders. They go, now the main guy is here. Are they doing that one? No, you should go. Yeah, you've got more experience. Yeah, go on, Qulus. Qulus, no, goes Azazir. No, you've got the... So eventually Qulus, probably Adam's apples going up and down. He goes, I've got to go forward. On getting near Khalid radiallahu anhu, he indicated that he wanted to talk, to which Khalid responded by attacking him with his lance. Qulus, however, parried the thrust, showing uncommon skill in doing so. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu then charged at him again, but subhanallah, the thrust was again parried. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu, realizing he was getting nowhere with the lance, then charged towards Qulus and, grabbing him by the collar, jerked him off his horse, whereupon the Roman fell to the ground and made no effort to rise. Qulus was then taken as a prisoner. So basically he was parrying the blows with the lance, both on horseback. Khalid gets off the horse so quickly, grabs him. So how quick was this, right? And he knocks him onto the ground, and Qulus is just thinking, maybe by the audacity, he's shocked. But next minute he's a prisoner. Whilst the Romans were thus dismayed by the sight of this encounter, Azazir was greatly pleased and hoped that the Muslims would secretly kill him. Now Azazir himself came forward and, regarding himself as a greater fighter than Qulus, therefore had no doubt he could take on Khalid. So what happened? So this is recorded by Hafiz Waqidi rahmatullah alayh in his Futuh al-Sham, page 19 to 21. Azazir stopped a few paces from Khalid and said in fluent Arabic, "O my Arab brother, come near so that I may ask you a few questions." Khalid radiallahu anhu replied, "O enemy of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, come near yourself so I can take off your head." Azazir, undaunted, he said, "Dear Arab brother, what makes you come to fight in person? Do you not fear that I will kill you? Your comrades will then be left without a commander." Khalid radiallahu anhu responded, "O enemy of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have already seen what a few of my friends have done during the duels between the champions earlier. If I were thus now to give them permission, they would destroy your entire army with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I undoubtedly have with me men who regard death as a blessing and this life as an illusion. But who pray are you?" Azazir arrogantly replied, "Don't you know me? I am the champion of Syria. I am the killer of Persians. I am the breaker of Turkish armies." Sayyidina Khalid asked again, "What is your name?" This time he said, "I am named after the angel of death. I am Israel." At this, Khalid burst into laughter. "I fear that he after whom you are named now seeks you ardently to take you to the abyss of hell." Azazir thereupon inquired, "What have you done with your prisoner Qulus?" Khalid said, "He is held in irons. And what now prevents you from killing him? For he is the most cunning of the Romans." Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu replied, "Nothing prevents me from killing him, except I want to kill you both together." Azazir then shockingly said, "Listen, I shall give you 1,000 pieces of gold, 10 robes of brocade, and 5 horses if you kill him and give me his head." Astaghfirullah, imagine. To which Khalid remarked, "That's his price. What will you give me now to save yourself?" So Azazil asked, "What do you ask?" Khalid says, "Jizya." This enraged Azazir, who thereupon said, "As we rise in honor, so you shall now fall in disgrace. Defend yourself, for I am now about to kill you." So this was the conversation that took place. Simply put, Azazir was trying to frighten him with his speech. And he kept asking about Qulus. So Khalid immediately realized they're rivals. And imagine, he asked to kill him. "I'll give you this and that." He goes, "That's his price, what's yours?" Right? And then he goes, "Yes, your name after the angel of death, he's coming for you, don't worry about that." When the conversation finished, the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was upon him like a flash. Khalid was mounted on his horse with a drawn sword. He thereupon struck him several times. But Azazir, showing perfect mastery over the art, parried every blow and remained unharmed. So imagine, then a horseback, and he's obviously a seasoned warrior. So he defends himself. Khalid was impressed. It does seem that Azazir was not just all talk after all. Meanwhile, the face of the Roman broke into a smile, and he said, "By the Christ, alayhi salatu wasalam, I could easily have killed you if I wished. However, I am determined to take your life, so that I may then release you on condition that you leave our land." This is recorded by Hafiz Waqidi rahmatullah alayhi in his Futuh al-Sham, page 21. So he's thinking that Khalid's, you know, I'm better than him. I've parted his blows. And he goes, "I could have killed you." And he goes, "The reason I've left you, so I'm going to take you alive, so that you leave our land." Subhanallah, these were indeed the very same thoughts of Khalid, radiallahu anhu. As he thus strode forward to attack again, to his great surprise, Azazir turned his horse and began to canter away. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu thus pursued him, and the army saw the remarkable spectacle of two generals galloping one after the other. So what's Azazir doing? He's basically looks like he's fleeing. So Khalid's chasing him with his horse. Several times, the riders galloped around the no man's land between the armies. And then Khalid began to lag behind, his horse sweating and winded. The Roman horse, however, showed no signs of fatigue. Sayyidina Khalid, now furious, jumped off his horse and walked towards Azazir with sword in his hand. The Roman gloated at the sight of his opponent, walking on foot whilst he himself was mounted. Now he had Khalid just where he wanted him. He thought, "I've got it. He's on foot. I'm mounted." Because ideal situation. As Khalid got within striking distance, Azazir galloped full pelt towards him and raised his sword, making a vicious swipe to cut off his adversary's head. But this is exactly what Khalid wanted. He thereupon masterfully ducked to let the blade swish harmlessly inches over his head, whilst at the same time instantly striking the forelegs of the Roman's horse, tightening his famed shoulders and arms whilst doing so. So basically, this was the plan of Khalid, not his plan. He thought, "He's going to come full pelt at me, and as he, you know, tries to strike me, I will use the force of his horse to take his legs, the legs of the horse out." Subhanallah, the next moment, the forelegs of the horse were severed, and both the horse and the rider came tumbling down. So what strength was needed for that? Suddenly, all courage now left Azazir. He thus got up and tried to flee. He didn't get far, for within seconds, Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu pounced upon him, and then lifting him bodily off the ground, hurled him down with a tremendous force. Azazir thereupon lay unconscious from the impact. It is related, Hafiz Waqidi rahmatullah alayhi in his Futuh al-Sham, page 21, Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu thereupon dragged him back to the Muslim camp, where he joined Qulus in chains. So basically, the two generals came out. One basically gave up very quickly. The second one gave a good bayan, and he actually got him. But Khalid, he's created for war. So even when he was on foot, and his adversary was on horseback, the one on foot had the advantage. Imagine. I don't know what strength is needed. If a horse is charging towards you, and you take out the legs, well, your arms should come out of the socket. But this shows that he was being helped by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after that, Azazir bottled it. Next, when he grabbed him, smashed him to the ground, winded. Subhanallah, both the active commander of the garrison and the reinforcement commander were now prisoners in the Muslim camp. This thrilling grand duel was hardly over when, subhanallah, two more of the Muslim corps arrived, those of Abu Ubaidah and Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu anhuma. The sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereupon instantly deployed them as the wings of his force and gave orders for the general attack. The Romans stood bravely firm for an hour or so, but could not hold the Muslim bombardment any longer. The loss of their generals and high-ranking officers had a depressing effect upon them, and the fact that Damascus stood just behind them, beckoning them to come and be safe within its walls, acted as a further temptation for them to withdraw, and withdraw they promptly did. So basically what happened? As the two generals were taken, finally the Muslim commanders come. Immediately Khalid deploys into battle. Those fools engaged him. Imagine, why are you engaging the Muslims now? But they were brave. After a bit they thought, head for the hills innit, let's get back into Damascus. You know, it's calling us, you know, let the siege deal with them. And this is now where we will discuss, inshallah, the siege of Damascus. So all I mentioned tonight was basically the conclusion of the Battle of Ajnadayn and also the Battle of Marj as-Safar. And some of the leading personalities mentioned amongst the Romans and some of the key events that have taken place. And just to reiterate, I'm mentioning the reference Hafiz Waqidi rahmatullah alayh in his Futuh al-Sham. And like I mentioned many times, just to mention it again, his work on the Maghazi, the battles, is a reference point. Mm. He's very reliable when it comes to mentioning the battles of the Muslims. Mm. And this is exactly what's being referred to here. But in hadiths, he's fair to be weak. Mm. So don't confuse the two. The brother was asking me, because you're quoting Waqidi quite a lot, but this is where he's quoted for battles. And Futuh al-Sham is a work he's written, is here actually, two volumes. It's the opening of al-Sham. Mm. And it's an excellent work. So this is why I'm quoting this here, because it's a reference point. Mm. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa bihamdika rabbana shaddan kim, subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursalin, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal asr, innas-sana lafi khusr, alladhina amanu wa 'amilus-salihat, wa wasbil haqq, wa wasbil sabr, sadaqallahu.